Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey of a believer.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another wonderful episode on the silsila Journey of a Believer. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you make dua for yourself, your family and your community, then remember the ummah as well. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is his final and last prophet, that he azza wa jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, maghfirah to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. We all wish to live in unity, starting in our household, that we don't have issues with each other, that we don't quarrel with each other, that we have a mutual understanding, and we live united in happiness. Likewise, in our society, our community, when it comes to the believers, the Muslims, the brotherhood of Islam. Islam practically teaches this. And when this is fragmented, then we lose our power. We lose our influence. As we see nowadays. Because the devil, Shaitan, and his allies, his followers, have created such a system of divide and conquer. United, who can touch us as Muslims, as believers? And history bears testimony to this. But once we are at each other's throats and we are constantly quarreling with each other, starting in the homes, then it's easy for Shaitan to pick us off one by one. It's easy for the followers, the allies of Shaitan, and even the nafs, the ego, to destroy a person. So today, inshallah al-kareem, we will be talking about unity amongst Muslims. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi." The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. And oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, whoever desires that Allahu azza wa jal is pleased with him when he presents himself in his court, then he should send salat upon me in abundance. In abundance. How many of us are doing that? If we ask ourselves, of course, we would want to be in such a position and condition where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is pleased with us. When we are present in his court, Azza wa Jal, here's one way, by maintaining an recitation of Salat ala Nabi in abundance on a daily basis. So every day, don't forget, you're traveling to work or back home, you're traveling to school, college, uni or back home, you're in the home, you're out of the home, send Salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite dhikrullah, make istighfar. Don't forget to make sincere repentance and tawbah on a daily basis. And create a mindset. Each and every one of us should create such a mindset that how best can I live this short life to please my Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Unity amongst the believers is taught to us practically. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning stages of Islam. In fact, a little before that, I'm sure you know, during the period of Jahiliyyah, ignorance, where tribes would fight each other, would murder each other, would plunder, would pillage, would steal from each other, would try their best to annihilate each other. Many a times, over personal matters, trivial matters, the Arabian Peninsula had many tribes in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. In fact, Medina Sharif itself had two main tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj. And yes, they would wage war against each other. This is in the pre-Islamic Arabia. The other parts of Arabia, those tribes were warring tribes. Wars, battles used to last for generations upon generations. Because your great-grandfather had a problem with my great-grandfather, so you and I are going to have a problem as well. This is how the sitting was. The women had no rights at all. They were treated as chattel, as objects. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, and then comes Islam. The light of Islam. Then appears the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to all the universes sent by the Creator, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. We also know that we have Muhajir Sahaba, those who migrated, who left everything behind, all their sentimental values, who left their businesses, their shops, their jobs, their homes, and migrated from Makkah Sharif to Medina Sharif. As the migrant Sahaba, alayhim ridwan, they arrived in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Zadahallahu Sharafa wa Ta'zeema, they arrived completely empty. They had nothing, no resources, no provisions, because they left everything behind. They would feel lonely, and they would feel out of place, because for them this was a new place. It was a sort of foreign land, and they didn't know anybody, and they had no provisions. So yes, they felt that separation, that pain of being separated from their families, from what they knew, what they were accustomed to their environment, where their friends were there, their family members were there. There's no doubt, the Sahaba of Medina Tayyiba, Ansari Sahaba, they did do everything in their power to make it comfortable for the Muhajireen, to host the Muhajireen and bring them some happiness, some ease. But the Muhajireen, they didn't like depending on others for a very long time, because they were used to eating from their own earnings, the earnings of their own hands. There was a need to put something in place to remove this concern of the Muhajireen and to set up a sustainable development, an independent means of livelihood for them. What did the great Prophet, our master, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, decide to do? What was his strategy? What was his plan? His plan of action, his practical plan that achieved this. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to establish a relationship of brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajireen, so that this loneliness that the Muhajireen were experiencing and their sort of sense of a lack of support could be removed. And by becoming each other's helpers, this problem, this issue of the Muhajireen, especially their livelihood, could be resolved. After the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he calls the Ansar and Muhajireen, the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, to the house of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now keep in mind, this was the early stages of Islam, so they were just about 45 or 50 Muhajireen Sahaba. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Ansar Sahaba alayhim ridwan and said, "These Muhajireen are your brothers." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called the Muhajireen and Ansar forward, two at a time. And he said, "He and you are brothers." As soon as the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words, a relationship of brotherhood was established in the true sense, or in the truest sense. So the Ansar took the Muhajireen to their homes and placed each and everything before them and said, "You are our brothers. Half of what we have, half of our provisions are yours. The other half are ours. What is ours belongs to us. What is now yours belongs to you." Think about this. Will you find any way in the annals of history such an incident, such a brotherhood? Impossible. After witnessing the sincerity of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Rabi Ansari radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he gratefully said, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place blessings in all of this wealth and provisions of yours. Just show me the way to the marketplace." So he showed him how to get to the famous marketplace of Medina Sharif called Qaynuqa. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was also a very intelligent and wise businessman, what does he do? He goes to the marketplace. He purchases some ghee, clarified butter, and cheese. And he starts to sell this until the evening. In this way, he continued to frequent the marketplace on a daily basis. And in a very short period of time, he became extremely wealthy. He gathered enough wealth that he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu got married and began to run his own household. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu presented himself in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "How much mahar did you give your wife?" He replied, "I gave her gold equal to 5 dirhams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "May Allah azza wa jal bless you. Organize a walima, even if it is with one goat." And gradually, so much of blessings and success were placed in his business that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu himself said, "Even if I touch dust, it becomes gold." It's narrated that his business goods would be loaded onto 700 camels. And when his merchandise would arrive in Medina Sharif, the entire city would become overjoyed. Just like Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, other Muhajireen, Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they also set up businesses. The first Khalifa of Islam, the first successor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Afdalul Bashri Ba'd al Anbiya, the best of all humans, the best of creation after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, he would trade in clothes. The third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani, Dhul Nurayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would sell kajur, tumur, dates in the market of Qaynuqa. The second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would also be busy in trading. And other Muhajireen also began both small and large businesses. But where did this all start off? With the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he joined one Ansari Sahabi and one Muhajir Sahabi together that you are now brothers and the rest is history. That how they behaved, how the Ansar, Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they gave half of everything. Everything they owned, they gave half. 50% of what I own is now mine, 50% is now, it belongs to you. It's your property. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established a relationship of brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajireen. The Ansar, they honored, they favored the Muhajireen more than their own brothers. And together, they played a pivotal role in helping the garden of Islam to flourish. This great display of love, understanding, affection, and unity between the Muhajireen and Ansar alayhim ridwan was so accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He Azza wa Jal even revealed verses in praise of those honorable personalities in His pure speech, His kalam, the glorious Quran, as mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 74. And those who believed and migrated and fought in the path of Allah, and those who gave shelter and provided help, it is they who are the true believers. For them is pardon and honorable sustenance. In Tafsir Surat al-Jinan, under this verse, it is mentioned that in this verse, the iman of both of them, Ansar and Muhajireen, was attested to. And there is mention of them being worthy of divine mercy. The purpose of this verse is to mention the greatness, the excellence of the Muhajireen and Ansar alayhim ridwan. Because the Muhajireen, they left their ancestral homes, they sacrificed for the sake of Islam. They were willing to leave their friends and family. They didn't think twice about their wealth, about their properties, about their lush gardens. Likewise, the Ansar, they completely welcomed the Muhajireen in Medina Sharif in such a way that they made them equal partners in their own homes, their wealth, their provisions. They are the true and complete believers. They are granted pardon, forgiveness for their sins, and an honorable sustenance in Jannah. So we have the beautiful slogan, Har Sahabi a Nabi, Jannati Jannati, that every Sahabi of the Nabi is guaranteed Jannah, is a dweller of paradise. But is it not something for us to realize and learn from? Do you know those two tribes? The Ansar, who were the residents, the natives of Medina Sharif, were actually in pre-Islamic Arabia two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. They too used to wage battles against each other. But what happened that made them now Ansar, the helpers of the deen, the helpers of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened? Islam happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now in their midst. He's the one who brought those two tribes, Aus and Khazraj, together. And from now onwards, they were known as Ansar. Even the Muhajireen, there were many different tribes, but they came together, they were brought together by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in brotherhood, and they were now known as the Muhajireen. And not just that, now the Ansar and the Muhajireen, they were now brought together, and they're now known as Sahaba, Ansar Sahaba, Ansari Sahaba, and Muhajireen Sahaba. But when we say Sahaba, we mean all of them. Whether they embraced Islam before or after Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, Zadahullahu Sharafu Ta'atima, that's irrelevant for us. They are Sahaba. They saw the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were in his company. They had Iman. They left with Iman. They are Sahaba and guaranteed Jannah. if a person has a problem with that, then he must be advised that he has chosen a deviant path away from Islam. And of course, we shouldn't associate, if they are stubborn in those corrupt heretical beliefs, we shouldn't associate with them. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some children and women returning from a wedding. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and said twice, "O Ansar, you are more beloved to me from all the people. O Ansar, you are more beloved to me from all the people." The Ansar, they immediately accepted the invitation of Islam. Subhanallah. So this is our history. This is part of our history. Though at one stage they were at each other's necks, the Aus and Khazraj tribes, they finished off each other's great warriors. But look at the result. Look what ended up happening. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Islam brought them in unity amongst themselves, and Ansar Sahaba, Muhajir Sahaba. This is practically teaching us, showing us that though we don't need to say it, because it's obvious, it is well known that Islam is peace. Islam is unity amongst the believers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically showed us. Now should we not, oh those who are devotees and lovers of Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt, lovers of Awliyaullah, should we not learn these lessons and apply it in our lives? That if I had a disagreement with another Muslim, with my sibling, with my parent, overlook, be the better person and leave trivial matters, leave things that are not serious matters. But what happens is the ego comes into play, the nafs, then of course shaitan is going to come and whisper in the mind, in the heart, no, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Don't they know that, you know, you are more intelligent than them, more wealthy than them? How can they speak to you like that? And many a times, over trivial matters, relationships end. Husband and wife, parents and children, brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, and friends who were friends for years, maybe decades. Unity. If we are united, if believers, Muslims are united, then you see what happens. You see that you have influence, you have power to truly forbid evil, to bring about harmony in our homes, to bring about serenity in our societies. That's what Islam is about, to bring peace to the people. But we have to work together. Yes, all fingers, not the same size, different people are going to have different temperaments. Some will have more patience than others. Others will have more tolerance than others. Some might be more intelligent than others, more wealthy than others. But you have to work together. Even in a business, in a corporate organization, not everybody is on the same tier. Not everybody is as smart as maybe the CEO or management. They all have their own roles and responsibilities in the home as well. The husband, the father, his responsibility, the financial burden is on him to maintain the home. He is the maintainer, the provider of the wife, of the lady. She is to remain in the home, to look after the children, look after the home, whilst the husband goes out. And this too today has become a debate. But go and look at those so-called first world nations where the husband and wife are fighting for who wears the pants in the home, go have a look. No tranquility, no peace, no serenity. But if they apply the Islamic teaching, where rights are fulfilled, each one has rights and responsibilities, then you see how that tranquility, at the end of the day, everybody's looking for this, searching for this, happiness, fulfillment, sukoon, tranquility. And if you apply Islamic rules and principles, then the person will certainly achieve the greatest of fulfillments and happiness and tranquility in their lives and harmony in their homes. And then by extension, harmony in the society. If you take a long piece of stick, hold each end, and you apply pressure and force, and you're going to snap it. You're going to break it. But if you took a few branches or a few pieces of that stick, 10, 15, 20, you understand what I'm saying. So in unity, in understanding, in looking out for each other, starting in the homes, this is how we can be strong. This is how we can work together and back each other up and become better believers. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Journey of a believer. A believer's road is narrow, yet filled with sacred grace. Each trial becomes a lantern. Journey.